You're listening to the OM Podcast. My name is Pete. I'm the visual design lead here at Outwear Mobile, Australia's leading app development company. I'm joined here with my partner in crime, cool dad, and Android team lead. You all know and love Keith Smythe.
Thank you. That's got to be the best intro I've ever had, ever. It's beautiful. Thank you. I'm actually crying.
Also in the boardroom today, we have UX design lead George Hartley.
Thanks, Pete. It's very nice to be here.
And on the iOS side, we have lead Pebble developer and Dota enthusiast, Doug Tonio.
That's good. I like that title. It's a good title.
Lead Pebble Dev?
Yeah, lead Pebble Dev. Lead Pebble Dev in Australia.
It's better than lead Symbian Dev.
I'm dropping truth bombs.
And I'm dropping the modest bombs.
There we go.
So, Doug, I said you're a Dota enthusiast
in the intro.
Can you tell us what that is?
So, Dota...
What's an enthusiast?
Someone who's going on a holiday for the... its main purpose is watching Dota. I'm pretty sure that classifies
good.
As an enthusiast. So to back up a bit, Dota was originally a mod for Warcraft 3, which was released a long time ago now. Anyway, it focuses around teams of five basically trying to attack each other over a large map and then tear down their base.
And I'll just jump in here
it's
now.
It's a computer game,
it's
right?
It's a computer game.
Danny, if you're listening, I know he wanted us to avoid talking about video games, but I just wanted to bring this up because Doug is actually flying in a plane to Seattle to watch people play this video game, which I thought was pretty special.
And it's not just Doug. There's others as well.
Other people.
Yeah.
But Doug, who works with us, is you've based a holiday around this tournament.
Correct.
So you're like a crazy sports fan, but instead of physical, like World Cup sports,
the foosball,
it's esports.
Yeah, that's right. So a quick note on the other people: it's been held in Key Arena in Seattle. The seating capacity is 17,000. It's sold out in about half an hour.
Whoa!
I actually almost missed out on tickets, which would have been a real bummer. This is like real sports to me. People stay up and watch the soccer, and when there's big games of Dota on, I'm tired because I've been staying up watching the Dota.
Doug, when you play the Dota, sorry, when you win the Dota,
sound like my mum.
Is it just for the glory?
No, it's for a lot of money right now.
Real money?
The prize pool is constantly...
Take a guess. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've researched
this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I also saw a webpage with
the number.
So everybody knows.
Does anyone not know?
My first thought before I was told was, you know, an awesome computer. Maybe.
Yeah. Sweet graphics card and a really good mouse.
You know, Alienware.
Is that pretty much what everyone else thought, Keith?
I was thinking pair of headphones, some sort of sponsored hardware.
Yeah. And I mean, that wouldn't be a bad answer, certainly. You know, a few years back, that was pretty common.
But you're wrong.
Actually, probably even... You'd have to go probably back 5 years or something. Anyway, that's beside the point. The current prize pool is sitting at... $10.3 million.
US dollars?
US dollars, that's right.
That's like a billion Australian dollars.
Yeah, it's like a billion Australian dollars. And that's gone up about $50,000 since this morning, I think.
Oh, see, I told you, Mum.
I can become something.
I've got to have words my career advisor in high school.
It's what she
said.
Can't just play video
Doug,
games.
How far off being pro are you at the Dota?
So far, I'm a 3.2K scrub.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that, like the TLC scrub?
Well, it's technically it's top 15%, but if you ask Reddit, then it's, you know, bottom like 90%.
A scrub
Sorry, you actually want to know the definition of a scrub.
Who can get no lub?
I still don't know what an enthusiast is.
We've established that an enthusiast is someone who spends far too much money to go to someone, go watch people do things. But no, a scrub's noob, new player, whatever. I'm not a new player.
Like
I've
a
spent
noob.
Like a noob, yeah. But I've spent, I'm of course doing this in jest. I've spent like 2,000 hours with the game, if not more.
Yeah, because if you're a noob and you don't see the sun...
No.
At all.
No,
so I'm like wondering how much Dota time people have to clock up to be to get to that level.
The people playing in this tournament, it is their life. It is their job. They are they play it professionally in the capacity that they're sitting down and they're playing it 8 hours a day or more.
Yeah. They have sponsors.
They have sponsors. Yeah. Yep. They have sponsors. Energy drinks really like sponsoring for some reason. I guess it makes sense. Yeah. Monster's a very big sponsor of
esports.
That's
how you play all night.
computer hardware companies, obviously. Razer and Intel are some big ones. Red Bull, too.
Adult diapers.
No adult diapers just yet.
I thought these were hardcore players.
They still shit in toilets. Okay. Actually, we should probably
cut. That's good. The games have a time limit, right?
That's perhaps the interesting thing about Dota, and in fact, a lot of esports, is that generally speaking, these aren't set up like traditional, in air quotes, sports where they're done to a time limit. Now, there's certainly games that are, but Dota and StarCraft and League of Legends, which is also like Dota, they're not played to time limits. They are played until an event occurs, until a team makes an event occur. So you could have a Dota game that goes under 20 minutes, and you could also have a Dota game that goes over an hour and 20 minutes.
How does that work with the audience? Because I've seen StarCraft matches go for over an hour, and it stops panning out to the crowd when you're watching. It just stays with the players who are just sweating profusely.
So I think I think an interesting comparison between StarCraft and Dota in that regard is that the longer a Dota game goes, generally speaking, the more and more tense it becomes. Because, and this is something I wanted to mention as well, to sidetrack a little bit to come back to that to make it seem a bit more real, is that in real sports, in air quotes,
you can say real sports.
No, it is actually
real life sports.
you don't need a precursor. It's a sport.
Sports. It's sports.
Esports is the later one.
It's so actually called esports, not games.
Well, it is. Yeah, that's the common term for it. That is come about. I personally might prefer professional gaming as a term, but esports is what it is at the end of the day.
The production quality of the actually watching esports and things is actually going towards where professional sports are as well. Professional is a bad word for it, but RL sports, I suppose.
Yeah, RL sports. Let's call it that.
Again, you can just say sports.
I feel we need something to go between esports and just sports.
But the actual, like, physics of what you're going to be doing is sitting in a basketball stadium watching guys on their computers, right?
Yep, that's right. I mean, it's also going to have a giant screen. And everything else. So, I mean, these people are still
doing something. Whoa. These people?
Yeah, they're people.
They're competitive gamers, my friend.
Yeah, and five of them are going to walk away with probably $1 million each.
Oh, my God.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Take that, mum and dad. So, who will you be rooting for?
DK and Na'Vi.
Na'Vi, of course.
He's
like the Tony Lockett of Dota.
Na'Vi is a team, not a person.
They're like the St. Kilda of Dota. Actually, no, that would be
bad. If Tony Lockett was a football team, Na'Vi is the Tony Lockett.
No, I know about Na'Vi because I saw the documentary that is called
Free to Play.
Free to Play. Yeah.
I thought Na'Vi was that little fairy thing in Legend of Zelda that goes, "Hey, listen
to
me."
Na'Vi.
Na'Vi.
I thought Na'Vi was the
I think it's Na'Vi.
The thing on my dashboard that tells me where to go.
The Avatar movie.
Avatar, yeah.
It's actually shortened.
Oh, that's the Naveen. And
Avril Naveen.
Right, if this is a video podcast, there'd be papyrus at the bottom of the subtitles. Naveen, I see you, is what they say. So esports. Are you going to do anything else while you're in Seattle? Are you going to check out Microsoft or Boeing? Or
no, I'm going to
see,
even
go to
Amazon.
Go to
Amazon,
the home of the Metro UI in Seattle.
Not planning it. I'm going to go to Vegas and LA.
Redmond?
But
ooh,
to give you just a sort of, how much of this trip for me is focused on Dota is that I'm spending 5 days in Vegas and LA total, and the Dota event goes for 5 days. This is not an American holiday that's conveniently got Dota involved. It's a Dota holiday that's got some America involved.
Yeah, and I don't think you're the only one doing that.
No. I mean, I'm going with two others, but people, from Australia and Europe and the rest of the world.
Well, Doug, admire the force of your conviction to esports and Dota.
Do you think one day esports will be bigger than sports?
Well, I heard an interesting anecdote. Apparently, was it the World Cup or the Olympics or something? I think it was a World Cup team. We've mentioned this before on the show. Sorry, people who have listened to previous podcasts.
But sorry,
the esports are so big in South Korea that the Dota South Korea team or something, or the national team in some... StarCraft.
StarCraft, that's the one that's big in Korea.
Went into the change rooms of the South Korean football team to, like, encourage them.
Really?
To give them a pep talk.
I don't think I've heard that on the podcast
And then the football players are like, oh my God, it's the guy from StarCraft. Isn't that... And by football, I mean
he
soccer.
He plays Zerg.
Yeah, how crazy is that? So
they're like superstars. They're really famous. And everyone knows them. They probably have trading cards that people collect.
Yeah.
And it's... Oh my gosh.
Dota has digital trading cards. That's
does it really?
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
I think it's one of those things that seems like when I hear Doug doing... It sounds... just really ridiculous to me. But like, I get it, but I just think it's I'm the one at fault because I'm behind the times. I think in 10 years, it'll seem less weird for sure.
I think I'm so glad that the first time you've ever said that you're at fault to do with anything with me has been permanently recorded.
Yeah, Andy, can we get that in a loop, please? Just, it's all my fault.
I'm the one at fault. I'm the one at fault. But I would be interested in seeing esports of games that I play.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would love to see a Street Fighter 2 esport tournament.
They exist.
The throwback one.
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Mario Kart SNES.
That would go violent so quickly.
Yep.
I'd love to see like a Pro Evo or FIFA.
FIFA definitely exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good point in terms of what you play. And I think one of the interesting things about that playing and the esport involvement is that with RL sports...
With sports!
If you like soccer, you probably occasionally kick a soccer ball or whatever. But if you just go on and watch a really exciting game of soccer, you can't march onto a soccer stadium field that's full of players and play soccer with them. You can go play FIFA.
Yeah.
With Dota, you can just start up the exact same game and play it. Of course, you're not going to play it
not
at
as
the same
well.
Level, but, but so you can still go and so just play the entire game.
These pros will be playing in your league sometimes.
God, no. I'm not good enough to get up to there. But yeah, but they are just playing on the servers at wide. If you have the appropriate skill level, then yeah, you can just be matched with pros. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then lose.
And then lose.
Yeah.
That's right. Or win. One of the two.
Android L. iOS 8. Material design. Minimalism. Skeuomorphism. These are all words.
Potato.
You considered a career in marketing?
That's it.
You should do keynotes.
And we're going to need some dramatic music behind that.
So, yeah, I'm just moving on from Dodo to the main meat in the sandwich, as Kent always used to say.
Much to my displeasure.
God rest his soul.
We need to call
him ghost.
Just to confirm or deny rumors that he is indeed dead.
We shouldn't say that. Touch wood.
Touch wood.
This is foam core. what sort of operation are we running here? So last podcast, we talked about material design. And we talked about Google I.O.
Are we going to talk about the art runtime again? Because I've got more stuff.
No, we are definitely not. Joel is not here.
We have actually had several conversations.
So, Android L came out. They talked about material design. They released it. We've got a developer preview. We've got the material design guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, Apple came out with iOS 8, which was a... evolution of iOS 7.
Ah, okay.
Not as a radical shift as the material design philosophy.
The main way that I have been thinking about it is that this is it's a suite of quality of life improvements, basically, to iOS 7. That's mostly how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to talk about today is who's doing it right and... you know, which do you think is better? Obviously, the
I'm biased.
Are you boiling it down to drop shadows versus no drop shadows?
Well,
if you are, then
maybe if that's how you see it.
Is that the only difference between the two that you
that
see?
That is it. That's the only,
just drop shadows. So that means that Android sucks, basically.
So basically, I just wanted to get you guys together. Android L, iOS 8, discuss.
My vote is for Android L.
Well, my vote is for iOS 8. I don't think this is surprising anyone so far.
If you look at both from the perspective of their own platforms, Android L does a very good job at making the Android UI better for Android users. And the iOS 8 designs and UI and all that makes the iOS UI better for iOS users. Can you compare the two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes?
We can easily. We are. We're comparing them right now.
Other than just drop shadows?
Yeah. Well, I kind of think of it like Android design started like the Wild West. You know, it was anything, right?
It looked a lot like iOS.
Oh, yeah. Well, even before that,
because no one knew what to do.
So it was just whatever you wanted to do, right?
A collection of icons.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then, they kind of have been pulling it together more and more. Like 4.4 looked quite sharp. I thought it was like a step ahead of iOS 6.
Yeah. They made a really big design shift when they went to 3.0 Honeycomb.
Yeah, that's right. And then it came on 4 and up.
And it's just been iterating on that since.
And
yeah.
they were way ahead of the ball on that.
They were. They were pushing Apple at that point. And this is like another step, adding in a few more design constraints that we can use when we design to make even more consistent stuff. So, yeah I think it's an improvement. Like, I've only seen two apps running it, so it's hard to know how much of an improvement. And there seems to be some sort of wacky colours and star wipes and stuff like that. Star wipe.
But the best wipe.
But in general, it's just adding slightly more constraint that I can see, which is a good thing, I think, to design within to get a nice consistent kind of feel across all their stuff, not just apps, obviously.
So, George, you're the lead UX designer here at Outwear. In case you didn't know that.
I heard. He's looking bemused.
I'm a what?
So currently, can you talk us through your process? Say if a client comes to you and says, we need an iOS app and we need an Android app. This is what these are our requirements and stuff. How do you go about, like, do you start with one in particular first? Is there one that's more of a priority or do you treat them equally?
Yeah, we don't necessarily start with one over the other. It's more about the content and how do you, fit these, what does it need to do and how do you fit that into each platform's design conventions, I guess. So it gets back to my other point, giving more consistent sort of boundaries to work within is really cool, I think.
Yeah.
But no, we don't necessarily start with iOS and then, feed out Android first. Well, sometimes we do, sometimes we do it the other way around. It's kind of, yeah.
Do you find now that there's more constraints with the material design and there's more, it's locked down and it's a lot tighter, will it be harder to create consistent looking and feeling apps for the two platforms, or do you think it's gotten easier?
I'm not really sure yet because we haven't done it, but it's fine that they diverge a bit, Android users like Android conventions and are used to that. You don't want to, lead them down some path of self-discovery to learn how to use your thing. You want it to just be able to be used. And it's the same with iOS. So they can diverge a little bit in how they kind of feel. That's completely fine. I don't care that they're splitting.
Yeah, the consistency shouldn't be between the two apps. The consistency should be based on the platform they're running on. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, what are you worried about? Somebody having, these people do exist. Some people have Android tablets or iOS phones and vice versa. But are you really worried about them having, like, going, oh, well, I want to use this app, and then they're, annoyed that they're, oh, God, this isn't exactly the same app. They should be designed for the platform, not to match up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wrong.
Just getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. So Android L, they're embracing materials, like how things would react.
Paper.
People like objects, and it's magic paper seems to be the overarching message.
Um magic paper.
Just completely lost
magically,
your thought.
Your brain's been star wiped? Is that what's...
Yeah, I just got star wiped.
When Pete starts thinking about paper, he starts drawing in his mind.
What?
Pete was actually drawing
Where am I?
Have you ever seen paper?
So it's paper and ink and... they're trying to relate it to real world objects and it's paper that can move and stretch and it's ink that can splash and do star wipes and stuff like that. To me, it seems like a very solid idea and it seems like it's scalable across all of Google's products. I'm just wondering, I just wanted to get your thoughts. Say if you look at iOS 7 and 8 by comparison, their sort of metaphor is this whole translucent glass, I suppose you'd call it, or a translucent material that is, you know, overlays over everything. And yeah, that's kind of like their metaphor. How, Doug, I see you got your hand up, but
I want to talk, teacher.
Personally, I think the material design is a bit more robust, like the philosophy behind it. It seems to be a bit more robust and scalable. And having designed interfaces with iOS 7 in mind and that translucency, I find it extremely difficult. So I just wanted to, and I'm not sure if that sort of idea can last or if it's flexible enough to meet everyone's needs. What are your thoughts, Doug?
Well, the one thing I wanted to add when you were talking about what iOS 7 is doing and how it's portraying things now is motion. And I mentioned this before when I've talked about iOS 7 on the podcast, but I think it is actually an important thing. And it's not something that we played around with a lot. And to be fair, it's not really something that I've seen too many apps apart from Apple apps play around with that much. And even then, there are things like settings, which are obviously quite bland. But using things like the slight parallax effect to provide the illusion of depth,
yep.
I think that's actually also an important part of how it works and the way that UI elements work to give user feedback.
Yeah, you're right. I suppose I'm looking at it at a very flat, superficial level. It's like, how do those screens look when the phone is flat on the table and that's it? Mm. But I've noticed, you know, Android have really stepped up their animation and motion. Because previously to now, I mean, there was motion in there, but it wasn't part of the fabric of the UI.
They've been adding to the animation APIs every single release, and they've been trying to make a big deal out of it and trying to get people to use it, but no one's been baking it into the design of their application. Mm-hmm. Like, to this point, I'm not sure how you would draw animation on design guidelines and wireframes at this point even. It is something that's the first thing I notice as an Android user when I pick up an iPhone is that whenever I press another screen or I press something that goes somewhere else, it shows me where that new screen is coming from. Mm. And then when that new screen goes away, it goes back away the way it came. So you get this kind of feel for it. It's not just one screen. There's this larger kind of environment there that you're navigating around.
You can build patterns in your mind and you get a sense of where things have come from and where they're going.
Yeah, exactly. And with L, I've noticed they're putting a big emphasis on that. If you press a button, then something's going to open up from that button. They want it to open up from the corner that button lives in.
Yeah, it's very much based on where you touch and where you interact with the UI.
Yeah, with the ripples.
Right down to the point where those, because the design likes to ripple where you touch. It will do it on a per button basis, which I quite like. If you have a longer button, say in settings, where the buttons take up about half the width of the screen, if you touch the left hand side, that's where the ripple will appear. It appears right under the finger, and it does make it quite nice to use.
Yeah, it's cool. I wanted to get your guys' opinion on their use of color, because I've used the calculator app and I had a look at the dialer app, and to me, at first, the calculator app looked like Snapchat had built it.
That's a bit harsh.
No. I think it's fair.
You have a look.
Yeah.
You change, you hit enter or equals and you get this sort of wipe across of a new color and it's like, and here's your answer.
There's too many colors in the calculator
it's
app.
It's very, it's a colorful app. And I just wanted your thoughts.
So, I mean,
works, I think.
The calculator app probably highlights my fears for material, to be honest.
Because is what you shouldn't do.
Yeah, this is what it shouldn't do. In the sense that you look at it and then there's this vibrant fluoro green stripe in the middle of it, which I think is fine. It's kind of like a... What is that color, Peter? Is that...
You should just be able to give us the hex of that color just by looking at it, right?
It's ocean breeze. It's teal.
Anyway.
The hex value is 7, 8, E, O. No, it's
enough of that. Only with a, to be honest, fairly stock and bland, bad-looking drop shadow. And then when you start using it, those nice subtle ripples that were in settings are now kind of a bit louder and a bit like, what's going on here? And then when you do actual, you know, summing and all of that stuff, that has quite a pleasant animation. It kind of moves the numbers up the screen gently. But when you start clearing things or you, say, divide by 0, then it starts going all star wipe colorful like we were talking about before. And it really sort of feels over the top, and it does feel like Snapchat, only even more sort of in your face.
I think you guys are being overly critical with the Snapchat.
Snapchat's a cool app.
Snapchat is a cool app. And the colors inside of Snapchat work in that context, but this is a calculator.
Yeah, I just wanted to. You mentioned the stock looking drop shadow, and it seems kind of insignificant. So on the calculator app,
What isn't a stock drop shadow? Is drop shadow?
Well,
drop
I mean,
shadow,
it could be subtle, it could be heavy, it could be
and
a realistic drop shadow.
It's just a drop shadow.
This does look like the Photoshop default.
That's what I mean by stock drop shadow. By the way,
but.
It's not nuanced.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused as to why it's really like the display area, like where it shows the numbers. Mm. It's on a white piece of paper. Like that's the material.
Yeah, this is the top area where you're going to do the math.
Why that is raised. So I get they have all these rules around buttons and everything. And,
I agree.
And you know, when you're dragging objects or you've got tiles or cards, that they have a drop shadow. That makes sense. But I just don't understand why there's a drop shadow here, and I wouldn't really care about it. This is kind of like the example app of what material design is, and there I can see some. It seems to me like a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think the calculator is meant to be their big shiny example of what material can do. I think someone got a hold of material, and they were updating bits and pieces of the OS, and someone updated the calculator.
Yeah, maybe.
The settings is a little bit better than that. It's much more subtle. Everything's very
the settings is a really good example of what it should be.
From the developer's point of view, it's really easy now to put colors in your app, but it doesn't encourage you to put 8 different colors in there. What used to be, if you wanted to change the theme and give the theme a base color that would appear on most of your controls and things, you'd have about 9 or 10 different properties you had to change in your main sort of config files. Now there's 2.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Give it a main color and a main color dark, and then as long as you're using the material controls, then it'll just wipe through the app.
Yeah, it's really good. And I suppose the good news for, you know, folks like us who, you know, we provide a service and we make apps for other people. We design on different platforms. It seems like they're all sort of preaching to the choir in terms of like their best practices. So it's edge to edge content. It's letting the design get out of the way so the user can do whatever they need to do first. So they have their different sort of take on it and their different nuances. But I think now they're probably the closest they've ever been
in terms of
alignment and consistency.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Like, I've seen some sort of commentators saying they're diverging, but I think the philosophy is almost exactly the same. It's content first, right?
Yeah.
And however you sort of describe that.
It's giving your user familiar patterns that they can hold on to and recognize and putting the content first. And that's what we're trying to do at the end of the day, I guess, is...
Yeah, I mean, the apps are just...
let people do stuff with their phones.
Our app does something. We're not sure what it is, but look at the design. It's amazing.
So, changes from iOS 7 to iOS 8. I mean, overall, the whole philosophy seems to have remained the same. It looks like they've tidied up the UI a little bit. Some of the inconsistencies, I know they had... like on the dialer screen, they would have sort of weird rounded cornered buttons and stuff like that. Now they're all gone. They've cleaned up a lot of the inconsistencies. Was there anything, just going back a while from WWDC that you saw that stands out that you found as interesting?
I mean, to me,
and this has probably already been talked about, but extensions is the biggest one. A lot of people have asked me whether I've installed iOS 8 on my phone yet. I haven't. That's because I don't want a crashing phone. But I did do it with iOS 7 because it was a hell of a big deal. But the reason, the main reason why I haven't, apart from the beta thing, is that that's the bit that excites me most, and that's only going to be something I can utilize once it's out in the wild.
Yeah.
And that's pretty big because where iOS is finally moving. I'm actually secretly employed by Apple. I wish.
iOS corporate spy. This is how we can afford these lavish holidays in America.
Yeah. It's actually a work trip. iOS is now finally going into a direction where it's less of a sort of full screen, single state.
It seems more like almost like there'd be no reason to jailbreak your device. It seems more like a computer, more Android-y, because things can talk to each other and you can get it to do the things that you want.
Yep.
And less locked down and more flexible. And it's when I saw that, I was like, this doesn't feel very, very Apple in a good way. I was kind of like it feels like it's opening up, but in Apple's very special walled garden kind of way. Like they've built a little gate. It's more of a cat run that goes around the garden.
You get to choose what breed of cat you put in it now.
Between these 10 different breeds, and that's all.
Yeah. It is still very much inside their walled garden. And I suppose they've just worked out how to appropriately build the walls such that you can play in the garden together.
Love these IRL metaphors, like sports.
sports is an IRL metaphor for Dota.
That's right. Just like IRL garden.
Again, it's we're seeing more and more consistency between the platforms.
Mm. More sort of parity rather than consistency. I know it's semantics, but feature-wise, we're kind of heading towards the same place. And once kind of getting back to what we briefly mentioned with the apps across both platforms, both platforms are also focusing on what they think the best design to do the same thing is, kind of, you know, the same philosophy, which is things like edge-to-edge content and also the ability for apps to talk to each other like they would on a desktop OS.
Yeah. So getting back on the L train, do you think that Google have really pushed this whole, you know, Android across every device thing? So they've, you know, at I/O they opened up with, this will work on your mobile, this will work on your tablet, this will work on your TV, you watch your
car,
your websites, your cars,
chopped up Kia.
Do you think the mobile experience will suffer because of that?
I think from Google's perspective, no. They're hedging. They showed a little graph and they said, when we do this whole continuity thing, and they never used the word continuity, I'm just using it to make it easier. They wanted it to be very phone-centric. It's all driven from the phone. So they're assuming that everybody has a phone. With Android One, they want everybody to have a phone in any country, anywhere. So they're banking on that everyone has a phone, and they're going to start whatever it is that they're doing in their car from their phone, because you plug your phone into your car. And one of the other ones, Android Wear, is driven by the phone as well, of Chromecast and casting. It's the phone that goes and finds the content and then tells the Chromecast or the Apple TV or whatever, this is where the content is, now you go do it. So I don't think the mobile experience is going to suffer. I think it's actually going to become, my phone is much more important to me now, and there's a lot of eggs in that small handheld basket that I drop all the time. So I think if I ever lose my phone, all my stuff is going to break. So I don't think it's going to suffer. I think it's actually more important than it's ever been.
So Keith, what does that mean for someone who doesn't use an Android phone but has other Google
products and things? Google are usually fairly good with providing SDKs and APIs for other vendors to make. They actually had an iPhone 5S on stage at the keynote, and they did a demo using a 5S, which I thought was really neat.
That is cool. And they've also you know, always ported things like Chrome and Maps over to iOS, whereas, you know, obviously...
Well, there was a slight delay once that annoyed me.
Maps was worth the wait.
Oh, the Maps.
Maps was worth the wait. Yeah. But, you know, you're not going to see Safari being ported over to Android and... Not yeah. that you would want it, but Apple Maps ported over there.
And I think Google's banking on that. That they're saying, look, we're Google. We support everything. They're Apple. They only support Apple. Mm. Why don't you buy us and it will work on your iPhone and your Google products? Yeah. And Apple are saying, no, just buy all the Apple stuff and we'll give you the best experience possible. So, and Microsoft is coming out now saying, we'll support everything. Because I was reading rumor articles today about the Microsoft smartwatch will actually support Android, iOS, and of course Windows Phone, which none of the smartwatches I've heard of yet support everything. They're all, I may be wrong.
Yeah. A quick note on that. If anyone's used the latest Skype update, they have now made it completely metroified on iOS.
Have they really?
Very bizarre. Yeah.
A metro app on iOS.
It just looks completely like Metro. So they ported all
right
of it.
It's, now.
It's a bizarre experience.
Yeah,
it's
it really is.
Not necessarily
is.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Just, I feel like I've been ported to somewhere.
It, yeah, you're just like, what?
New dimension. Yeah,
and it, to their credit, it does actually work very smoothly and well, but it doesn't make
okay.
it not weird.
I don't mind the swipe between tabs, but it still throws me.
Yeah, totally threw me as well. Yeah.
I always feel a little bit bad. Well, I don't feel bad. But because Microsoft really, they had to... Their UI was so broken before Metro, and they really had to invest in redoing it. And they did it like 4 years ago now. And I feel like they were really the pioneers in this case. They were doing edge-to-edge content and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and
they removed
content
all
first
the extra
and,
Chrome.
Yeah, 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 no Chrome and all yeah, this yeah, stuff. Yeah. All these philosophies, you know, were put into
they
place.
They were first, yeah.
And then, yeah, 4 years later, Apple comes around. It's like, oh, yeah, we're doing that yeah. as well. I mean, and then Android a year after them.
Yeah, I describe Material as if Windows Metro and Android KitKat had a baby and it discovered drop shadows. That's Material to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. I feel
right,
bad.
I'm looking at Skype.
Do you think that Windows 7 was actually broken, though? When you look at the design of Windows 7?
No, Windows 6.
Six?
Windows 6? Windows 6? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Sorry, start again.
That wasn't really Windows. You were saying that in Windows 8, they had to redesign everything because it was broken. Do you think
No. I said Metro.
Oh, okay.
So, like, before pre-tiles?
Uh-huh.
So, we're talking about, like...
Oh, between Windows 8 and 8.1 type
like
thing?
Like a
or?
Palm Trio or something that was running Windows. Like it was severely broken.
It didn't work.
And they realized they couldn't beat Apple at making things look like things.
Yeah.
Like their whole skeuomorphic thing, that, like they couldn't... Well, there's a full ad on this Skype.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It likes to give started. You through... It'll give you a nice video ad.
Oh, yeah, this works.
I think Microsoft's still trying to figure out what to do with Skype.
Yeah, they really are. So far, they've worked out step one, which is kill MSN. They're still wondering on step two.
This is fine.
Collect underpants.
Actually, I guess step two was Metrofight.
Metrofight.
Yeah.
Except it's not called Metro anymore. You have to call it something else.
Oh, is it not
which
called
no
Metro?
One
What's
can
it
remember.
Called Windows 8?
I actually came here as a C# developer, and I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how well marketed that was.
It actually, it's a good looking app.
It is a good looking app. But it really.
Who would have thought with infinite resources they could make a good application?
Amazing.
Dear me. Okay, so anything else you want to talk about those two?
I'll just quickly finish my thought on why a calculator actually bothers me apart from bright colours, because I feel like I need to justify that.
Doesn't even add up properly.
It doesn't even look like a Braun product.
Actually, that's
one.
A pretty big thing. It's a calculator app. We've talked nothing about its functionality.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it adds all right.
It adds all right.
It adds all right. It appropriately doesn't crash if you try to divide by zero. These things are good.
Well, it does do that big red
It does do a big red thing, but, white you know, thing. It's better awful. Than, sorry, this app stopped working. So what I wanted to bring up was we talked about that the difference between calculator and settings and how much different they feel. That's the bit that actually worries me, because calculator is... Peter's just shown me an iOS calculator, and that's totally thrown me off my Thank you very much.
Let's just all show Doug.
iOS calculator looks completely different to the iOS settings. Like,
Yeah, I know it looks completely different to the settings. If you let me finish my sentence instead of distracting.
Excuse me, can I finish?
So, calculator still does fit in with the idea of material, and so does settings. But calculator feels so much stranger and, in my opinion, far less nice to use.
It means we still need designers.
But
you still have a job, Peter.
That is good, but I'm more worried about Google products and the rest of the OS. You know, Google is huge. They have all these massive teams. Part of the benefit of Material was to unify the teams around one design philosophy.
Yep.
And you can tell that they have got the same philosophy, but these apps have done very different things.
Yeah.
And it's funny, actually. I had the Google design page open before and then another Google tab next to it, and even their favicons are different. The design one has a rounded blue background and the normal Google has that square blue background.
Someone's going to get onto that.
Yeah. But both of these...
That's Bush League, Google. Bush.
Both conform to, you know, what they want to do, but one circle and one square.
It's like the left hand doesn't
know
what
right. It's still early days, though. And as you said before, it's probably going to be 12 months until we start seeing any change in third-party apps. It's going to take a long time for people to
I'd be surprised if these two apps that we're seeing don't change.
Oh, yeah. It is worth noting that this is the first dev preview.
Yeah.
It's very, very early days.
Like, the documentation that I've seen is just a square with a circle on it. And a few philosophical descriptions.
No, there's the guidelines.
They're really
long guidelines.
That's the guideline.
Not the things we've got printed out on our wall.
No, that's just the overall philosophy.
Yeah. Okay.
My hope for it is that we get more apps in the vein of settings. Settings, 10 out of 10, would set again.
So,
except when it crashes.
I use Gmail every day. In the browser, in Chrome.
It's Google Mail, for those who don't know what it is. It's like Hotmail, but Google.
It recently came out of beta.
Not really, that was years ago.
Longest beta ever. I hear it's going back.
So what will that look like when it gets the material overhaul?
Good question. That's you've got the default white theme open there, and it already looks very minimal and flat.
Well, I mean, that's true. I think that was a point people have made, that is that material design is based on a post rationalization of what's currently out there. So it's they didn't come up with a philosophy and go, and we can use it to make stuff like this. They were like, how do we get to that? How do we reverse engineer that? And
define what that is.
Yeah, define why that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of they're working backwards. But I suppose if you look at Gmail, there might be a few tweaks, maybe a few more drop shadows here. A few more star wipes, a few more colorful buttons. But I mean, they've been doing the colorful button thing and the clear call to action for since this Gmail refresh, which is about 2 years ago, I think.
Well, my prediction is they'll get rid of a list completely and just make a whole bunch of tiles.
just go into Metro.
Huge tiles.
Yeah, just look at the first few Windows 8 phones.
It'd be amazing.
Well, do you think Nokia really hit the nail on the head then when they released that Android phone that's skinned with the Windows 8 skin? they hit Material first.
Yeah. Nokia ahead of the curve.
Oh, yeah.
Should go back to being the Symbian team lead.
Pioneers, yeah.
I'm going to keep bringing that up. I like it. I think the Gmail app's just going to get more colourful.
Yeah.
And possibly even lose the hamburger menu sliding
drawer. They did show...
Like the G Plus
app. Showed in on I.O. That was the example they used. Like, here's the original Gmail, and this is on a mobile device.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed the original Gmail and where it will go to with Material Design, and it did look like a huge improvement. And I think, we're forgetting as well, like, such a big part of this overhaul is based around typography as well.
Yeah.
So they even updated Roboto. It's a lot nicer now. It's rounder and it's more refined and
it's work on more screens now. Yeah, not just mobile. You can put it on a computer.
So that's very cool. So and Apple has obviously been typography champions for
what's the Apple font called?
Helvetica.
Helvetica. It's not very creative. See, ours is like Android.
We're refined enough to use a real font that we haven't made up and called something stupid.
It's like if you walk down the road, there's two pubs. One's called Helvetica. It's got lovely chandeliers from the ceiling.
It's Swiss. You can get a fondue there.
Next door, cheese. There's Roboto. It's very colourful and lively, but there's punch-ups going on at the front.
Speaking of punch-ups, I was playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on NES.
Oh, my God.
The other
what
day.
A game.
It's so hard, so difficult.
I love when you fight Mike and he's about four times taller than you.
Yeah.
At the very end. It's incredible. He fills the whole screen and you're this tiny little guy.
It's brutal.
Yeah. You're really weedy, right?
Yeah, you're tiny. It's crazy.
I feel sorry for the kids today. The children playing all these easy games on
Dota 2, ease game, ease life.
On tablets. Do you feel that's the case? Do you think games are getting easier?
Easier? I think they're a bit more tactile now, at least. It's because if they're playing it on a tablet, they've got the touch interface. But I think trying to get controls to work on a touch interface, people, like game designers, are still trying to figure it out.
Mm.
There's been a lot of games where you used to have a D-pad or something with a few buttons, and they ported that straight to tablet. So the D-pad is now you rub your thumb over the left-hand side, and the buttons are you. You've got to try and remember where they are because you can't see them, and you're trying to watch the game. So, I mean, it actually, to play Mario Brothers just straight on a tablet, much, much harder than when I was
that's very
six
true,
or 7
actually.
Years
and
old. First played it.
It also just
yeah.
beat around the bush.
It flat out feels worse.
Yeah.
Okay, so to wrap up the show, why don't we just do a little segment on favorite tablet games or favorite mobile games?
Can I ultra quickly touch on the game difficulty thing?
Yeah.
I've
got something to say about this too.
Yeah.
I mean, so don't mention Flappy Bird.
I'm not going to mention Flappy Bird, actually, although now I will. because
Flappy Bandy.
Really, yeah, Flappy Bandy. Coming to an iPhone near you.
You'll have to explain that now.
I will have to explain
now.
I will quickly diverge and explain Flappy Bandy, our wonderful producer, Andy Bandy Honorado. In a hack day, we made him his own special version of Flappy Bandy, featuring an animated version of him flying through hot dogs. Instead of dodging pipes, he's dodging hot dogs.
And the only bird in it was the bird that he was flipping. out of
I
his
actually
spaceship.
Forgot about that part. Yeah, that was the animated part.
Yeah, the animation was bird flipping indeed.
Which just makes it more frustrating when you die constantly.
Okay, so what is your point, Doug?
My point is that...
Are you still here?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, you were the one that was wrong, remember?
Yes.
I am going to use that for years to come. So... There are these markets of more difficult games out there, and Dota is one of them. MOBAs in general, MOBA, just Dota likes whatever. LOL is probably also in that category.
League of Legends,
yes.
I'll just translate for you for the people. It's like Dota, but not.
But
Dark Souls is also a really good example of this. This is a much more old school experience. This is an ultra, in air quotes, hard, but very fair.
Is that an iOS game?
It's not an iOS game, and I'm going to get back to iOS games with Flappy Bird.
Wait, I was talking about mobile. This is a mobile industry podcast. We're not talking about...
Oh, okay.
Your neckbeard basement dweller Steam addicts.
Lose the neckbeards again.
We're talking about real people
yeah.
who play real games.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to get back to the real people playing real Flappy Bird on real devices here.
So, Peter, your neck looks quite beardy right now.
Yeah, you have... I'm cleanly shaved. He is sitting here with stubble coming out of his neck.
It's true. I'm going to a swap meet this weekend. Well. Pick up some sweet RAM.
Hockey
and
sticks.
And a graphics card.
So anyway,
games.
Games like Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls. Dark Souls 2 being the more recent one and actually proved pretty popular.
Because it was hard?
Because it was hard, but not in a, you know, bastardy way. It was hard in a, here is a straightforward, stripped back, older school game experience. And those were hard. Things like
and Meat you can Boy. Get it on the App Store, right?
Totally.
You can get a really bad port with the D-pad controls overlaid.
What platform is this game on?
All major consoles and PC.
Yeah, then quit hijacking my podcast.
Well, there's an
I'm going to put it out there. You spent more time bitching about me talking about this than I have talking about this. Now, I will finally get it back to mobile.
Okay, George, what are you playing? What are you playing at the moment?
So you're going to cut me off before I can even get it back to mobile?
So yeah,
if you're a good boy, I'll let you later.
It's not even really a game. It's just a fun...
Is it calculator?
Yeah, tapping kind of music thing. And I feel like... You know that artist Flume?
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone know Flume?
No, yeah. I'm not cool enough.
Kid with the laptop?
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure he wrote his first album using this. Is that not Flume? Is this...
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool. Like,
it's a Flume simulator.
I think I'll use it for another day or two, and then it'll go into that. Games folder of mine, the dusty folder that I've never opened. You know, it's a
games
folder of doom for
so
games.
So, Keith?
Me.
What's on the...
Here at Android, we get everything a little bit later. So, we haven't got Flume Simulator 5.0 yet. But something we did get earlier over in Australia was Tiny Death Star. Australia, it seems, has become, for some gaming companies, the beta testing company, or beta, depending on how you want to say it.
That trend's also sort of followed on a bit in Iceland as well.
Yeah, I love it.
Hearthstone's actually a pretty big title example of that.
I play the hell out of Hearthstone. As soon as it comes out on Android tablet, if there's a Blizzard employee, I will write it for you for free. Contact me. I could have done it by now. Hurry up.
Also, please bring out the iPhone port.
No, next. Tiny Death Star. So it's one of those tappy games where you can go up and down. And
oh, I know it.
Yeah, you know it? Yeah,
I had it for a while.
It's like a tiny towers, but with a...
I didn't quite understand.
Wait, is it not Star Wars based?
No, it is.
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's actually quite funny. It's got like the little emperor and he's got the big bobblehead and he's like, we're going to rule the world by opening a deli on this floor.
Yeah. That's what I didn't quite understand about it.
That's like, really neat little humor. I loved it.
Okay. And so what do you do in it? You just open delis?
Once you basically test the limits of your Android phone by just opening delis on different floors. And at some point, because I played the game when it was really early coming out, I've got a Nexus 4, so it's not a slow phone. The whole phone just ground to a halt.
Oh, really?
But it is the most interesting thing I've played.
And it's one of those games where you have coins, right? Can you pay money to get more coins?
There's a lot of, if you want to build a new floor, at first it only takes 5 minutes, but then the next one takes 10 and then 20 and exponentially goes up. So you have to pay with either time or you can speed it up by using these special money things, which you can pay money to get more of.
Right. See, I've always hated games like that. I've never played them, but they got me.
They never existed before.
I've been playing Deer Hunter 2014.
Is that a mobile game, really?
Yeah.
You just tap on deers?
It's on tablet. Well,
is that the plural of deer? Deers?
No idea.
Bambies? You're playing Kill Bambi's Mother. Is this what you're playing?
It's a lot of fun, but it's so grindy and it's very much like pay us. It's like if you want to get the gun that you need to shoot things, it's like.
So what do they start you out with, a knife?
Rock.
No, they give you a gun, another but it's deer. Not very powerful. You got to put like 8 bullets into a deer and by that time it's run off.
Do you ever fire 7 bullets and go up to the deer and like, do you feel lucky, punk?
Yeah. But I found myself going, if only I had that gun. And then you go to get it and it's like, you just need more gold. And then it's like $34 should cover it. Like dollars. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
And so I've tried to restrain myself. I've spent $12 on this game. two rounds of $6. I was just like, I can't do it. Because it's so grindy.
For that.
It's a lot of fun. Shooting animals, but
customize your weapon.
It's just like so grindy, and it locks you up every time, so you can't progress.
Peter Talbert,
and I found myself watching ads as well. I know Kent spoke about this
just to get more gold, or
yeah, because you get one block of gold for watching an ad.
Yeah,
but it has energy, right? So if you run out of energy, you have to wait an hour before you can play again. And if you're on a roll and you've got bloodlust and you just want to kill more things.
White line fever.
You need gold. So you have to watch 10, 15-second ads.
Oh, God. I reckon Apple are banning that.
Yeah, there was a crackdown. Yeah.
Oh, really?
On like cross promotions within
making you watch
within the
Oh,
yeah,
it's interesting. I didn't know that.
That's outside of their garden. I'm actually just looking at a screenshot of this app. There is an Android version for anyone that still wants
it's
to play
also
this.
On. I played it on the Fire TV, and it's awful.
So you thought, geez, better try this out on iOS.
This will probably be the same version, but you can see the animals. There's a leopard launching itself at the screen.
Yeah,
and you can see its heart.
Yeah,
of course. So this is
what have you never been hunting before?
Vegan
what
game. Do
you do? Exactly how it goes.
You just put on your X-ray specs and just aim for the heart. This is awful.
You also have infrared.
What's wrong with you?
You can see their lungs and brain.
Build a gigantic space thing that destroys planets. But I mean, this is not nice.
Shooting living stuff.
Keith, I was better than shooting real.
I was brought up on Mortal Kombat. It warped me as a child.
Killer instincts.
Yeah. Okay, Doug.
Can I finish my point about
good
Flappy
boy?
Bird?
Yes. Go.
Okay. Okay. So, point is,
and that's it. We've had a great show. I'm the one at fault. I'm the one.